It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 15th of October, and you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show. How you're keeping on this dark and awful morning, isn't it? Maybe that's the way things are going. Of course it is. Right, we're here with you to brighten up your day for the next 3 hours. And we've got that usual mix of the very latest stories behind the headlines and making those headlines, special features, and of course your comments. And we invite them in right now. So maybe there's an issue you wish to raise. Interested to find out what the traffic's like around Letterkenny today, actually, because yesterday we didn't even ask and we were inundated with people contacting us saying that they were late for this, that and that. What is the situation out there today? Are things all improving? My journey in was not as long as it was yesterday, so maybe there's been some changes made. I think we might be talking about that a little later on in the show anyway. But that and anything else you wish to discuss, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. 07491 25000 if you want to give us a call, or you can email comments at highlandradio.com, of course. Let's have a look at what's on the front of it inside some of the papers today. And the headline in the Finn Valley Voice, Castle Finn's Kira Carolyn is Chef of the Year. She got her first kitchen job when she was 15. When she finished secondary school, she began working at Buffer's Restaurant in Oakfield Park, Raphoe. Now she's 21 and she's the UK's National Chef of the Year. Kira Carolyn, daughter of Anne-Marie and James Carolyn of Cooley Slynn, Castle Finn, is following a well-trodden path. There's no better place to launch a culinary career than the Finn Valley. Well done. That was a great bit of news, actually, that came through. The Children's Hospital, the 16th deadline for its opening, is going to pass without it opening, believe it or not. Well, I think you believe it at this stage. It almost would be unbelievable if it did actually open. But the Irish Independent reports that the latest completion date for the £2.24 billion new National Children's Hospital will be missed again, as £1.14 million in payments to the builders are being withheld, the Irish Independent can reveal. The promised November 24th completion timeline will not be met, the 16th time it has shifted in the last 5 years. The update has emerged in a letter from David Gunning, the chief officer of the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board, to the Public Accounts Committee, in which he also revealed how it is fighting over £800 million in additional claims from builders BAM and pushing forward a legal process. This is while BAM still is receiving big contracts from the state to build other infrastructure. While Children's Health Ireland will get limited early access in part of the building next month to start preparation for its commissioning, the completion date is now expected to be stretched out to next year. Mr. Gunning said, while BAM has reoffered some 2,140 rooms at fourth stage for inspection, no rooms have been accepted as compliant with the contract standard. Wowzers. Okay, on to the Irish Times now. And the fragile ceasefire in Gaza faced its first test yesterday when Israel said the flow of aid into the devastated Palestinian territory would be cut by half, accusing Hamas of breaching the US brokered agreement by withholding the bodies of Israeli hostages. Now, I believe three or four bodies were handed over overnight, but the whole notion of withholding food is against international law because you're effectively saying if you don't do what we do, we're going to starve the general population. That being said, looking at some of the activities of Hamas, there's internal fighting already in Gaza only a day or two before they got back into situ without without the risk of Israeli bombings. And also, too, Hamas decided, judge, juries and executioners, to shoot 8, 9, 10 people dead in the street whilst people cheered and watched on. It's not really civilised, is it? But anyway, that's perhaps the future that is for the people of Gaza. Once one thing finishes, another begins. On Monday, Israelis celebrated the return of the last 20 living hostages in Gaza, and Palestinians rejoiced at Israel's release of nearly 2,000 prisoners and detainees, or hostages as some are calling them, as part of the ceasefire's first phase. Hamas also returned the remains of 4 dead hostages, but had previously warned that recovering the bodies of another 24 still in Gaza may take longer, as not all burial sites have been identified. However, Israel military officials believe Hamas knows where more of the hostages' remains are to be found and have deliberately delayed their transfer. It is quite interesting how Hamas is still fully armed, though, and can instantly put in place a police force. It can, and there's other groups of rival gangs to Hamas that have guns as well in Palestine and have been killing each other effectively in street battles. And of course, to Hamas summarily executing people that they believe were collaborators with Israel. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: the country's health system has been accused of disgusting and traumatic treatment of women in a pair of government-funded reports. Women were left feeling completely infantilized, felt like children, if you know what I mean, while going through labour and ignored while seeking treatment. Participants described the quite patriarchal and disgusting language they experienced in healthcare settings and spoke of fatigue from having to aggressively advocate for their own treatment when they felt something was wrong. Two reports from the Women's Experience of Healthcare in Ireland Listening Forum were launched yesterday by Minister for Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill. A key theme across the reports was that women felt their symptoms weren't taken seriously, particularly when dealing with male GPs who they felt didn't have enough knowledge of the menopause or other crucial areas of female health. The moment I went into labour, I was treated like a completely different, let me just go to page four, person. One participant said, I was ignored. I was treated like I was mostly hysterical. It was just a really upsetting and traumatic experience. You're being completely infantilized. Made feel like an infant. I can't get my head around that word. In labour. So has that been an experience of yours with the health system? 08660 25,000. Enoch Burke is still trying to get to school, but he can't at the moment. Because a security guard has been put in place to stop him getting into the school. Gardaí were called to a school in Westmeath after Enoch Burke ended up in a verbal row with a new security guard who was hired to keep him out. Mr. Burke, who has continued to show up at Wilson's Hospital School, was seen having a verbal war of words with a security guard on the premises yesterday morning. And yesterday, a High Court judge suggested that Mr. Burke be made to pay the cost of the school's security instead of paying fines to the state. In a video posted to his own social media account, the security guard can be seen with his hands outstretched and preventing Mr. Burke from moving towards the school building. I'm at work today. I'm here to attend at my workplace. This is where I work, Mr. Burke, who was dismissed from the school, said. The security officer can be heard telling Mr. Burke he's really sorry as he asks him to move back. You are walking towards me. Make a space between me and you, he asks as Mr. Burke tries to get past him. I'm here to do my work. I'm being obstructed now from entering in the door here by this man, Burke says to the camera. And you know his style, the way it's going on. But he's still turning up for work, even though he was sacked. Though he's appealing that. But anyway, I felt sorry for the security guard, I must say, and some will feel sorry for Mr. Burke, but you know what I mean. It's just been thrust into the national spotlight for doing your job, probably for little more than the minimum wage. There was a row between Marilyn MacDonald and Micheál Martin over electricity. It's in the Star today. The Taoiseach has defended the government's approach to energy costs as he was told households are being ripped off. Sinn Féin leader Marilyn MacDonald said more than a million households will be hit with big hikes in their electricity bills this month as she accused energy companies of brazenly ripping off customers in Ireland. Reports from the International Energy Agency, which we reported yesterday, found retail prices in Ireland are three times higher than the wholesale price. Now, that's some profit, isn't it? Ms. MacDonald said, that's price gouging, plain and simple, a rip-off, plain and simple, during leaders' questions yesterday. Ms. MacDonald said this was in keeping with the terrible budget announced last week. Micheál Martin defended the budget and accused Sinn Féin of an approach that would have undermined Ireland's financial stability. He added, I can recall during the energy crisis, the proposals that you came up with would have undermined our financial credibility and would have been a boom to the oil companies and to the fossil fuel companies. But like, I'm not taking any sides in relation to this, but what the government decided to do was one-off payments that actually rewarded electricity companies for their high tariffs. You know, they effectively said, right, we'll pay you the one-off cost of living payments at the full whack for electricity. I mean, that's bolstering their profits, isn't it? There was no incentive for them to reduce prices, the electricity companies, because the state themselves were paying them directly at the rates they were charging as one-off payments, if you know what I mean, to cost of living supports. And lastly, Micheál Martin quoted again, he's blasted Irish swimmer Shane Ryan's decision to join the enhanced games. I don't know why anyone might do this, although there's an awful lot of money in it. The controversial new competition takes place in Las Vegas in May next year. It'll allow athletes to take banned performance-enhancing drugs under medical supervision. So the idea being this is an Olympics that allows athletes to participate at their absolute maximum ability, even if that is, you know, with the use of drugs. But I mean, like, that, how does that reflect on this man's career if he's prepared to take part in these types of games? It'll initially feature five events: swimming, gymnastics, weightlifting, track and field, and combat sports. Each event will have a total prize purse of €432,000, with €216,000 awarded to the winner. There'll also be $864,000 on offer for competitors who break world records in the 100 metres sprint on the track and 50 metres freestyle Ryan's event in the pool. So there's a lot of money being put out there. It wouldn't interest me at all, to be honest with you. But I think, you know, you really are selling out to the cash there if you're were a legitimate athlete, if I could put it like that, and now are taking money to take part in an event whereby it's perfectly okay for you to take performance-enhancing drugs, which are obviously illegal within the sport but wouldn't be illegal for consumption outside of sport. All right, so what do you think about any of that? 086 60 25,000. Give us a call if you prefer, and 074 91 25,000. Let's go to 100% Redress Deputy Charles Ward. Good morning, Charles. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good morning, Paul, the listener.
I'm okay. Right, we chatted on Monday, wasn't it, about your motion coming up on Wednesday, where you were going to effectively highlight the treatment of defective concrete block victims, the scheme, its implementation, and all that type of stuff. But you've told us today that the government is looking to heavily censor your motion. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I would say at every attempt they can is to basically make sure that none of that motion goes into the record. That's what their plans are.
How do they do that? Well, what is the procedure there? What's happening?
Well, I have a motion that's going in, and then they will counter that motion, okay? And then it will go to votes, and then my motion will probably be voted down and theirs will be carried. Well, and then their motion will be in place and mine won't be. So do you understand that it's basically...
No, I get you, yep.
So basically, we will see today when people vote, they're going to vote with me or vote against me. You know, basically, that's it. It's calling people out, and that's what we're here to do. But it's not surprising, you know, that this has happened, because we kind of expected this and we anticipated this, and it's about when they move, we move. And that's what they're going to do. So that their take on it is, and it's a Dublin take, is where everything is okay. We're doing what we said we do. You're going to hear the words. We're throwing out such and such million. There's so many houses getting built, but they fail to actually go into the devil is in the detail. And the actual detail is that this scheme is failing miserably. And today now, well, you'll hear government ministers speaking about the success of the scheme, but on the ground in Donegal, it's a complete catastrophe. The reality is, in Donegal, we're living in a nightmare, and in Dublin, they don't see it.
And ironically, rather than you being able to put your opinions on the record, it, as some might see it, it's insult to injury, because rather than you being able to say what you wish to say, such as the way motions can work, the government will actually be able to use your time effectively to state how well it believes it has been doing.
Well, it's part of it. But the narrative is when I do my opening statement, I will be talking about the reality of it, and then they will come in with an illusion of it working in harmony. And this is basically, it's got to be said that everybody in Donegal who's in a position as, for example, government TDs up here and government TDs at local level and the council have to stand up and realise what we're facing here and not follow the party line. You know, we keep on talking about the fact is that we've got a defective crisis, a humanitarian crisis going on our doorstep. But everybody has to pull together. And that's the way it has to be. Now, I know that basically the government TDs will be tied by the whip system. But it's like this. We'll see what their statements say. Because if they come round, they turn around, they're saying that this scheme is a success and this scheme works, then they have to explain to their own constituents that are suffering why this scheme is working. Because we don't see it.
So just so people understand, right, so you've put in your motion and it is quite critical of the government. It was due to be heard at 10:03 and it you know, it's really, really quite detailed. They've put down an amendment that effectively substitutes every word that you were going to say after that the Dáil Éireann notes that and this is where you would go. Would you, just as I say, we're not all acutely aware of how it works. Does that mean that your criticisms and your points aren't even read into the record or recorded at all?
They will be recorded, but they won't be put into the official record. It'll be seen that this motion was put in place and the government countered it with the narrative that, look, we have a scheme in place. This scheme is, in their eyes, working. But that's not the reality. It's just basically a cover-up. It's basically telling lies. You know, and I have to be careful what I say, but telling lies is the fact, and I don't mind, because that's what it is. It's mistruth. You know, you will hear them talk about numbers. You'll hear them say, we've got 100-something-odd million we're going to spend in the scheme next year. But then again, we have people this morning that have been putting up on social media that they can't get a contractor, and the contractor that's starting says if their payments are going to be late, that they have to charge them 5% every week on the transaction till they get paid. This is what we're up against.
The government's going to claim today over 3,000 homeowners are now at various stages of the DCB grant scheme and will be supported with grants for 100% of eligible expenditure up to a maximum cap of $462,000 per household. That actually is not accurately how the scheme works, is it? It's actually not really the way it works. In other words, you get 100% up to that figure. You get a percentage of it dependent on the overall cost. So that in of itself is not 100% accurate, I would have thought.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. When I done the Dublin media circuit yesterday, and they were astounded because it's hard to get that word out up here. But when it does get up here, it makes them uncomfortable. The fact of the reality is, this scheme was made for urban houses. Somebody in Dublin looked at this and said, oh, well, semi-detached, detached. They never thought about anything else. And even the semi-detached and detached, there's very few, if any, I haven't met them yet, that are coming through and says, well, this actually worked for me. I got in without it costing me a penny. It didn't cost them €300, which was said in the past. It's cost them money. It's prevented children from going to college. It's caused marriage breakups and mental health issues. This is the reality. This is the lived experience on the ground for the people of Donegal. But Dublin politics up here is trying to dictate that we're sorted. We're far from sorted. We're not even at less than a percentage of what the scheme is. If we've got nearly 25,000 houses coming, we need to be turning out 700 houses every single year for the next 15 years to get through this. But we're not even anywhere near that. What we've got coming down the line is a tsunami of homelessness and mental health crisis. And I'm trying to tell them this. I've been shouting it, and they have to keep on because I'm not going to stop.
It's interesting here. It says Donegal County Council has systems in place to assist all homeowners to remain safe and to secure alternative accommodation should it be required in the case of any severe weather occurrences, which would seem to be counter to what the motion that was before the council yesterday. I wasn't aware that Donegal County Council has systems in place to accommodate people during severe weather occurrences. Sure, there was a motion yesterday calling for such a thing. Maybe I've missed
Greg,
that.
No, Greg, the last time prior to Storm Erwin landing, my office secured hotels in Donegal that allowed people to go to them hotels if they felt vulnerable and safe. Mm. We were told Donegal County Council about this, and at lunchtime, just as the storm was hitting, we worked through the night to secure these, and it wasn't until 5 o'clock the next day when they put out a half a paragraph saying that people could go to these hotels. Nothing happened then. The next time though, that red warning happened where we had it for 2 hours, there was people with damaged homes. Nobody got moved. There was nothing in place. So until they come out with an official statement saying that it's in place, then it will be in place. Otherwise, it's business as usual. Pretend they're saying something. They need action. It's action, not waiting on a tragedy to happen. This is the lived reality for everybody in this situation. Someone is going to die, and we've been shouting it and we've been saying it, and they're not listening.
Right, well, watch on with interest to see how people vote, I think, because, of course, you've got your motion and the government has seen to amend that. So we'll see how people vote on that. It'll be quite interesting,
well,
I think.
Yeah, we've got 26 speakers today, and 6 of them are from the government, and the rest will be from varying degrees of the opposition. So, yeah.
All right,
so
listen,
it's a united front and the opposition. So
I know you're prepping for that, so we'll watch on with interest. Thanks very much.
No problem, Greg. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Right, okay. It's funny how it works, isn't it? So really effectively a different narrative can be recorded, which actually effectively says how well the government is doing, as opposed to what he wanted to say and suggest otherwise. OK, we'll be back with our next guest after a short break. Now, MEP Cynthia Ní Mhuirchiú has got information off Irish Water, which shows that Uisce Éireann has paid out almost €9.5 million on compensating members of the public who've sustained injuries or had property damaged by Irish Water between 2020 and 2025. The first time Uisce Éireann have released such figures. And Cynthia joins me on the show now. Thanks very much for your time. Good morning to you.
Greg, Kekowil too. Good to speak with you again.
Yes, indeed. What do you read? Obviously we have the figures, right? 9.3 million over 5 years. What does this mean, do you think? What perked your interest to actually seek this information?
Well, first and foremost, the instigator of this was a constituent. They email me regularly, always glad to hear complaints or issues. But one particular constituent brought this up, Greg, to my attention. They had received compensation when Irish Water mistakenly, or the agents of Irish Water, the contractors of Irish Water, they had mistakenly dug up the driveway of that constituent. And obviously the constituent was entitled to compensation. No difficulty with that. And I'm sure that level was tested comprehensively before the courts or whatever by the lawyers. But it seemed to me that if a genuine mistake was made, and perhaps there was in relation to identification of the driveway or the air code, well, why was this made? Is this being made regularly? And then that figure was provided to me that you've mentioned of compensation paid. It has to be said over a 5-year period, which is lengthy enough, Greg, of almost €9.5 million of compensation. But what I really, this worried me, that figure worried me, because I'd be used to compensation paid through the local authorities. I used to defend claims, slip and falls, in terms of the local authorities around the southeastern circuit where I practiced. So I'm used to seeing big figures. But I just thought, Aaron is not on a par at all with the local authorities. I'm not suggesting that that figure is on a par, but I'm still querying it, and it bothered me. And so I went then to look at other figures, Greg, external PR consultants. Now, Uisce Éireann would have their own internal press and comms division. But on external PR consultants over 3 years from 2022, 2023 and 2024, the figure was €365,000 paid on external PR consultants. Why? And why so much? And why not exploit, I suppose, more so the team inside? Or why not cut down, perhaps, on some of the PR consultancy that they feel was required? This all comes back, really, Greg, to waste of spending in the public sector. And obviously, when I say waste, some of it might be justified. It's easy to throw that term around, Greg, but some of it has to be looked at and has to be drilled down. There's another figure that troubled me, and it's a lesser figure, and that was Media Monitoring Service, which was paid for by Uisce Éireann but outsourced.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I don't think a lot of people actually are aware that this goes on, but, you know, I on Garda Síochána would do the same. It'd be interesting to see how much they spend on it. Bus Éireann as well do the same as well, whereby if we mention something, you know, they're not listening all of the time or however that works.
No.
you will get a contact from one of these companies trying to either set the record straight, which is grand. But anyway, our style is that we wouldn't read anything out without making contact with them in the first instance in any case. But this media monitoring, I mean, there's a lot of money being spent, and this is only in Irish water. I wonder how much it is right across the board.
Exactly. Now, I have no difficulty with the concept itself. It's the cost of the service. It's the cost of it. And it, can that be justified when the core business of Uisce Éireann is infrastructure? We have many wastewater treatments and freshwater plants that need to be updated. We have many that need to be built. We have many that need to be serviced and so forth. So that is the core business of Uisce Éireann. I appreciate they do have a brand to protect, and the public want to invest trust and faith in them. And it does help to have some consultancy from the point of view of public relations in that regard. And but then we just need to drill down and say, is this too much? And that is the question that I'm asking, because to be quite honest with you, in my opinion, Greg, this is too much. There's also another figure of media distribution software, and you can explain to the listeners if you want in relation to what that means. But in the year 2024 alone, on media distribution software, so the software that was used to distribute their media message, 25,000 plus VAT. And again, I'm talking about the outsourcing of this. So overall, when we tot up all those figures that I have gotten under the Freedom of Information and other sources, there's about 10 million of spending there. Now, we know, and I welcome the fact that obviously Uisce Éireann received a sizable amount of money in the budget, and it is required, and we know all about that. But we want to make sure that it's good value for money, because at the end of the day, Greg, the bottom line is here. At the end of the day, as they say, it's taxpayers' money.
Yeah, of course it is, Cynthia, and I'm pleased that you're investigating any time that might be misused. But I mean, you know, your party, Fianna Fáil, are in government, and over the last number of years, we're stumbling across these discoveries, be it bike sheds, be it security huts, you know, be it a wall, whatever it might be. Where is the oversight? Like, rather than discovering these things as we go, why can't we get a sense of what the overall spend in certain areas and start cutting back in these? Because this is 10 million here, another 2 million there, 50 million here. You know, like even the 80-odd million given to Met Éireann for 2026. I don't know what they're doing with that, right? But, I mean, I would prefer a little bit more information, more oversight. Why can't the government actually do that themselves?
Greg, we're in a cost of living crisis. Every cent and every euro counts. Now, I do know, first of all, I want to say I fully agree with your analysis there about the instances that you've cited of waste. And you're quite right. It did happen under the watch of the current government. At the moment, it happens to be the coalition of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and Fianna Fáil is my party. I did note, however, that Micheál Martin pledged, on Taoiseach pledged after the bike shelter debacle and overspend, to apply more rigorous due diligence in relation to public spending. But you're quite right on the transparency point. We do need to see this spend so that we can assess it, because it is our taxpayers' money
I'll give you another example, if you don't mind.
Yes.
100 million euro for horse racing, and what many see is the barbaric sport of greyhound racing. No other country in the world uses public money to support greyhound racing. And in fact, greyhound racing has been eliminated from many parts of the world. And in the same budget, 11.6 million for domestic violence and gender-based violence services. Like, explain that. I want transparency, and we give 100 million for prize money for horse races and to prop up a greyhound industry that's only there to bet. That's the only function of it, really, right? And yet we can only muster 11 million for domestic violence and gender-based violence services.
Yes, well, now I beg to differ on the only 11 million on that figure. I don't have them in front of me, Greg, but I do know the lead out from previous Minister for Justice Helen McEntee and current Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan, the spend on domestic violence against all forms of violence against all sectors of the community has been increased exponentially. But I'm not going to argue that with you, because I don't have the figures in front of me.
I guarantee you that that's the figure.
Yeah, well, look, That is the figure, and you're making that comparison, and it's a valid argument. Can I just say how I come to the spend in relation to the greyhound industry, in relation to the horse racing industry, is as follows. I am pro-business. I am so pro-business because I am stuck, not stuck, I'm delighted to live in Carlow, a small county, which experienced underinvestment, maybe a bit like Donegal, for years and years and yonks, and we need to be pro-enterprise. We need to get investment. That's why I hopped and I opted on the Transport and Tourism Committee the minute I got out of Brussels. And I see the value in investing, albeit in the greyhound industry and in the horse industry, where we absolutely punch above our weight. Could I just say, since I came to Europe, I've got a couple of things in perspective, Greg, because I'm looking at Ireland now from afar and I'm looking and hearing people talking about Ireland. A lot of people think we have done a lot of things right, and one of them is tourism, and they flock to Ireland. I'm not going to say for the greyhound races but I am going to say for the horse races.
Well, you should have a look at the bloodstock industry. You should have a look at this year's Galway races attendance versus a couple of years ago. Anyway, that's fine. That's not what we invited you on to talk about. When we were talking about spend and justifications for spend and what have you. But as I say, you know, that 10 million, as you've just to get back to the beginning of it, could employ more nurses, yes, more guards, more SNAs. And I know, in fairness, the government has committed to hiring more guards and SNAs, but there's better places it could be spent rather than, you know, errors, compensation, remediation, stuff like that.
Yes. And the other, I agree with that point. And the other point I'd like to make is to go back to the cafe owner in Tralee, who also contacted my office and said, listen, I'm spending $1,750 on my water rates in order to sell cups of coffee and scones and jam and butter. But how do they feel when they hear about the spend on PR consultants by Ishke Aaron of almost $365,000? So it does come back to that basic trust.
But they might also ask. They might also ask why we're going to swell McDonald's profits by $40 million.
They may, and as I understand it, it was difficult to separate the big guys.
If that's not a waste of money, I don't know what is. Yeah, sorry, Cynthia. There's a slight delay, but we both understand that, don't we?
Yes, we do. I think the VAT reduction is to be welcomed. I certainly championed for it. I am delighted, Greg, that it happened. I do appreciate this was a budget of choices, like every budget, and I do know, because they've contacted me in their scores, that constituents are very, very upset about the fact that the ordinary guy and gal out there working has not received a break. But what I do say is, please look at other measures that the government are doing, not directly into your back pocket or into your wallet, but there are other measures that the government are doing in relation to services. But the part of the piece is making sure that people know that when there isn't a huge investment in the budget in Ishke Éireann, that money is being correctly spent, not on operating costs that I am questioning and I think are excessive. We want more on the infrastructure.
Thanks so much for your time, Cynthia. I do appreciate it. Look after yourself. That's MEP, Fianna Fáil MEP, Cynthia Ní Mórchú there, talking about a number of things, not least the fact that over 5 years, Ishke Éireann has paid $9.3 million in compensation. They have internal PR and comms, but they've spent in excess of €200,000 in that regard. And this external PR consultants, in 1 year, another €137,000. And in 1 year, too, the media monitoring this last year, €103,000, which is a peculiar little thing. Because, as I say, it's not just Irish Water do that, because we would, you know, there would be mentions of certain issues and we follow protocols in terms of reaching out for comment before we, generally speaking, before we broadcast something, because that's the right and fair thing to do. But often we're contacted to say, well, this and such was on your program and this is the situation, etc. And you wonder, why do they listen? How do they know? Well, they spend £103,000 a year monitoring it. The last camcorder of Donegal County Council is Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly of the Fianna Fáil Party. And he's been speaking on congestion in and around Letterkenny, and he joins him now. Good morning, Donal. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners, sir.
Right, we saw some work yesterday, and instantly traffic all around Letterkenny was snarled up, not just in the area of the roadworks, but in many, many parts of the town.
Yeah, Greg, and I suppose, listen, to start off, I want to make it very clear. I suppose, listen, traffic in any town is not a bad thing. But when it's congested, like the way it was yesterday morning, I mean, that's shocking. And listen, I suppose, Margaret was inundated yesterday morning with phone calls and text messages in relation to the traffic jam. And each and every road surrounding that end of town, particularly around the Kilmacrenan Road. And when I went up myself to visit to see what was going on, and I come to see that there was a barrier extended out through the night, which closed off one lane from the hospital roundabout to above the entrance to St. Connell's. So this done away with the middle lane, allowing traffic to pull in and sit and wait to turn in to St. Connell's or your town park. And what was happening, Greg, was like every morning, and I suppose people's trying to get to work, and in some cases people's rushing. I suppose the kind of world run now, everything's moving so fast. But the vehicles were struggling to get across. This then in turn was backing up the traffic right down by Oatfields, up Glencair, right up by Kilmacrenan, and back down New Line Road. Everything was congested. I was then sent photos as well of the main street in Letterkenny, and it was completely empty.
Is this, though...
So go to show you, Greg.
Yeah, but and the whole idea here is effectively to narrow the carriageway and provide a cycle lane. Does that mean these right-hand lanes, I can't see where the space is for them? In other words, was yesterday a taster menu of what is to come? Yes, this is the work to put these active travel plans in place, but is this what we're going to be left with when they're finished?
Yeah, Greg, and listen, as you know well, my stance on this and active travel from word go, and I was very nervous about it. But from what I seen yesterday, I'm even more nervous now of this project going forward, because we only witnessed yesterday, give or take 30 or 40 yards of one lane closed off. But in the long term, when this project is complete, we're going to be losing that middle lane the whole way from the hospital roundabout to Knockdemona roundabout.
Mm.
And that is a busy, busy area. So to put it into perspective, Greg, there's going to be no right or left turning lane for the town park, St. Connell's, the casualty there at the hospital, for emergency service, ambulance bay, for the new community hospital, Errigal College, Donegal Hospice, Little Angels School, you know, and the list goes on. That's not counting the housing estates within them areas as well.
That leaves people sitting in the middle of the road to make those turns, unless they prohibit right-hand turns there, which means going around the roundabouts.
Exactly. So the traffic now is going to have to sit on the lane on the hope that somebody lets them cross. And that's not always going to be the case. Whereas how things stand and always stood at the minute is you could pull into the middle lane and let the traffic flow like normal, as always.
Mm.
But now you're going to have to sit, back up that traffic until somebody lets you across to their side.
And that, for me, is
very alarming.
This is to facilitate, really effectively, people cycling up that hill, which I'm not sure how many might. I think if people, there's an argument,
Greg,
that people could be laughing at us if they were looking from the outside in here.
Yeah, well, Greg, go back to the four lane now. Like, start from the beginning and go back to the four lane. And I mean, I travel that road nearly every day, and I'm yet to see bicycles on it.
No, I've never seen a bike. I've never seen a bike on it, and I've seen very, very few pedestrians.
We're in a town that's built on the side of a hill, and we're putting cycle lanes on here on the Kilmacrenan Road that, in my opinion, won't be used or very seldomly used. And the biggest problem we have in Letterkenny at the minute is traffic and traffic congestion. And I always said that this was premature, backed by colleagues of my own as well. And, you know, I always stated that we need to look at our northern and southern relief roads, get them into place first, or Wendy Halls, or Old Towns, you know, places like that. Surely we need our bridges over the Swilly. That's further down the line, and it's something that we're pushing hard on.
Mm.
But our hands are tied to a certain extent, but it is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but you say that you should these should be deferred at least until after Christmas. But is this active travel money not use it or lose it? Is this why we're not rushing through with it now, and why councillors from Malinhead to Gweedore to Donegal Town voted to snarl up Letterkenny like this? Is this not what it's all about? If we don't use this money, we lose this money.
Yeah, Greg, I'm led to believe, if we don't use it, we lose it. But let me tell you, Greg, and I'll make it quite clear, I'm willing to lose it, because as things stand at the minute, it's not going to work, and it's going to be money wasted anyway. So this is not about money, Greg. For me, this is about the people of Letterkenny and surrounding areas. This is about the town of Letterkenny. It's about our businesses, that they're not... We're moving on now to Christmas, Halloween, Christmas, a very, very busy time of year. A time of year that our businesses rely on, you know, and this is where they make ends meet. And the last thing I want to see now is as business has been hindered in our town over the head of this active travel. And I do believe that's going to happen. Yesterday, I was witness and contacted by bus companies that was late getting children to school.
Well,
contacted by people that was late getting to work.
Hospital appointments, know, too. I got a number of contacts from people that were late to hospital appointments
and
for cancer treatment.
And as well.
I just think we need to really take a step back and say that this is a steep hill, and everything that's happening now at the moment, we know, and I think we can say it for a fact, there will be very few people cycling up that cycle lane, and those that might do it on racing bikes, you know, that wear the helmets and the Tour de France gear, and I don't mean that badly, just to set deference, they don't use the cycle lanes because the cycle lanes have pedestrians on them, they've got stones on them, they're not good for the bikes with the small tyres. At the moment, every bike and scooter I see is on the footpath. And scooters shouldn't even be on the footpaths. So what are we building it? Who are we building it for? It's for a steep incline. There's going to be no room for vehicular traffic. Who are we building this cycle lane in this area and other areas for? We have to ask ourselves that.
Yeah, Greg, and listen, that's something that I have highlighted and my colleagues have highlighted time and time again. And on top of that, Greg, what's even more important here is our emergency services. We have seen firsthand the failure of the four-lane in relation to emergency service trying to get through it. Can you imagine an ambulance or a Gardaí car, the fire brigade, any of them yesterday morning trying to get out? Whether they turned left or right, they were going nowhere. And that is the reality. And I'm a great believer in common sense, Greg. And let me tell you, common sense is few and far between at the minute.
Yeah, because I was thinking the same. When I was sitting in the traffic yesterday, I was thinking, right, if I start seeing sirens behind me now or coming towards me, where can I go? And I wasn't on the four lanes. I was in the traffic that we're talking of now. And I couldn't see anywhere for the traffic to part to allow emergency services through. I simply couldn't.
Listen, Greg, the engineers will turn around and state that there's going to be a drop curb here, or a kind of green grass verge to allow vehicles to pull up onto to let emergency services pass. That's all well and good in hindsight. But if you haven't a confident driver or even the tourist who comes into Letterkenny that doesn't know of this, it's not going to work.
Right.
And emergency services are going to be backed up no matter what way you look at this.
All right,
and what I called for yesterday, Greg, at the meeting was... Well, what I know won't happen was for this project on Kilmcrain Road to be scrapped. I know won't happen. But what I called for then was at least to defer these works until after Christmas to give businesses the chance in Letterkenny.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'll go out of my way. And even yesterday, I went into Letterkenny to buy stuff. But there comes a point whereby even if you're making an active effort to support the businesses that support the country or the county, there comes a point whereby you simply don't have the time in the day to sit for an hour in traffic. It's not that the businesses aren't great. It's not that the value isn't there. It's not the customer service isn't amazing. It's simply a case of, do I have the extra hour or hour and a half to make the effort to support these businesses. And to be honest with you, the answer very soon for many people is going to be no. Councillor Mandy Kelly, thanks for your time. I've just a minute for Patrick. You're a bus driver. This is just the works themselves, Patrick. They simply weren't laid out in a way that could accommodate the existing traffic.
Morning, Greg. That's correct. I came down from Larrakenny or from the Kilmacrenn side this morning to turn out to St. Connell there in the bus. The cones are too far down the road. I had to get the workmen to remove three or four cones so you turned in. It's not physically possible to turn the bus on. They've left it too tightly.
And is that just the way it's been set up for the roadworks, or may that be the way the road is laid out once the work has completed?
No, it's just the way it's set up at the moment. The cones going far too far down the road, there's no room to turn the bus on. It just can't be done.
Right, was that rectified today?
But in fairness, they did move them for me.
Right, okay, but still, all right, doesn't make
all
sense.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. Look after yourself. Right, more people looking to come in on that conversation, but the 10 o'clock news has caught up on us. We can return to it a little later on. We've had lots of you texting in. Keep your views and comments coming in to us, 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or if you prefer, 074 91 25000.